From round the corner
to your street and neighbourhood.
This is Dave for Breakfast.
Triple M Breakfast.
G'day, Dave for Breakfast here with your weekly Brekkie catch-up. This week's guests include Senior Regional Officer Consumer Protection Cheryl Dennis, raising awareness of a new rental scam and how to avoid paying a bond but having no rental property. Our finance guru Sarah Wells has great tips to get through Easter and the school holidays without blowing the budget. Plus, Narrogin CWA Belle Michelle Parker joins us with a simple recipe for choc chip cookies. No fuss, no mess.
It's Triple M Breakfast.
Getting your day going and feeling good.
This is Day for Breakfast.
Time now to check in and see what is happening in consumer protection. And joining me today, we've got Senior Regional Officer Cheryl Dennis warning us to be aware of scams when renting a residential property. So, Cheryl, what can you tell us more about these rental scams?
Yeah, absolutely. So unfortunately, we've had some recent reports of rental scammers operating in the regions, and we want to warn people. So scammers are pretending to be landlords. They're posting online at online marketplaces such as social media and fake property listings. Scammers may even be responding to rental wanted type ads and posts.
So the 2023 data shows losses to rental scams have risen to record levels here in WA.
Yeah, the figures are concerning. There's 81 complaints and 47 victims lost approximately $90,000. That's nearly 100,000 lost by people who are just wanting to find somewhere to live. These are record-breaking figures that eclipse the total of 63,610 lost by 34 victims in 2022.
So what information do people need when looking for a new rental home?
Yeah, we want would-be tenants to know that scammers will spend time grooming their victims, often telling them that they would be the perfect tenant for a property before they start trying to grab your money. They will make up excuses why they cannot show their victims through the inside of the property before telling them to pay a bond and rent up front via bank transfer. These excuses might be that, for example, they work away or live overseas. Be suspicious of properties being rented for well below the current rental value. This is a common tactic to entice more victims.
So, Cheryl, what can we do to protect ourselves from these rental scammers?
Yeah, so never solely rely on photos being provided to you online. If you do get photos, do a reverse image search to see if they have been used previously. We recommend using maybe Google or TinEye. Search the address online to see if the property is listed by a different agency. Try and only deal with landlords you can meet face-to-face or go through a licensed real estate agent. Always inspect the property inside and out prior to signing the lease agreement. Ensure you receive a copy of the signed lease agreement and keys of the property in exchange for any funds that you have agreed to pay. It's important to know your rights as a tenant. There's lots of information on Consumer Protection website, www.consumerprotection.wa.gov.au.
When does it usually become obvious that it's a scam, Cheryl?
In some cases, not until it's time that you've arranged to meet at the property to receive the keys. That's when a would-be renter may discover that the house is either already occupied, not available, or even maybe for sale instead. If you have suffered a loss from a scam, be very vigilant of follow-up scams, where scammers pretend to be an online investigator wanting to retrieve your stolen money for a fee. If you suspect a rental scam, let WA ScamNet know by calling 1300 30 40 54 or consumer at dmirs.wa.gov.au or via our website at www.scamnet.wa.gov.au, where you can also sign up for alerts to keep you informed about all current scams.
Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Cheryl, and keeping us up to date with the rental scams and especially what to look out for in the future. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
That was Senior Regional Officer Cheryl Dennis from Consumer Protection. It's Triple M
Breakfast. Getting your day going and feeling good.
This is Day for Breakfast.
Joining me now is our finance guru, Sarah Wells. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Dave.
So we've got a bit of a variety happening here. We've got Easter just around the corner, quite literally. But then also on top of that, we've got school holidays. So what are some fun family ideas for Easter and school holidays that won't break the family bank?
Look, this is when we really need to get creative. Like, we've seen global chocolate prices even go up. So we kind of got the triple whammy. Chocolate's more expensive, Easter's early, and then school holidays back up right off the back of it. So, you know, whether it comes to doing your Easter eggs after Easter, there's so much cheaper. It could be, you know, doing a Easter egg hunt. You know, really what I'm saying to people is go retro. It can be really lots of different ideas that don't need to cost a lot of money. They just take a little bit of innovation. And one of the things that you can do, which I think is a great idea for those words, Mum, I'm bored, is come up with a fun jar. You know, it's a jar. Everyone in the family writes down something that they want to do during the break, but there are a few rules. It can't cost more than X amount if you have a daily budget. Pop it in a jar on a piece of paper and then draw it out and kind of see where your day goes. It's a great way to have fun, adventure, and really connect with your kids. There really is so much that you can do that doesn't involve a screen necessarily and also isn't going to cost a bomb.
That sound like some fun, fantastic ideas there, and especially for the parents that are fortunate enough to have the school holidays off. But what about the working parents? What are some ideas there that for, like, you know, sort of childcare and activities and things like that?
So my top tips are, there are people like me. I don't have kids, but I love little people. So I am taking one of my friend's children out for a fun day. So I can take a day off. We're going to go and do all the fun things that I want to do. And best for me is I get to drop them off at the end of the day. But I won't take them home full of sugar because, you know, I'm a good, responsible friend. It can be neighbours. It can be, you know, other parents. You might be able to work where you can have time on and time off, you know, in your school circle, and you can share the responsibility.
So in that case, getting back to obviously once the school holidays are starting to wear thin and get to the end, what are some tips for getting school ready?
Look, it's always about getting ready early. It's trying to gamify and recruit your kids. Like, a lot of times parents, they do everything for their little people. You know, get them ready, get them early. They can bedazzle their school bag. They can come up with some fun. They can look at even, you know, options to get everything ready, go through, get their uniforms together. It can be, you know, to get some new pencil cases. It can be, you know, sitting down and thinking about some of the snacks they'd like for school. Give them a budget, take them shopping and help them pick and choose what they want. Now, they're not always going to make the best choice, but it's a really great way to get them involved so it's not falling on the back of parents in a last-minute rush, but also helping them to understand about money and what things cost. Buy things on sale. You know, hot cross buns, probably going to be super cheap. Whack those in the freezer for, you know, an after-school snack. Or get together and bake. You know, a lot of times what you can do is you can find things that you can do during school holidays because you have the time, and then you can introduce them to your children, find out what they like, and they can be transferred to weekends and after-school activities as well. You know, if it's a thing where it's about making, you know, slices for school or different lunch options, get the kids in the kitchen, do a MasterChef mystery box, have a little bit of fun, but most of all, you get to connect with them and you get to share the workload heading back to school.
Fantastic tips as always there, Sarah. Well, we're looking forward to catching up again next week after Easter and looking forward to some financial tips then.
Looking forward to it, and definitely chocolate is way cheaper on the other side of Easter.
It's Triple M Breakfast.
Getting a day going and feeling good.
This is Dave for Breakfast.
Time now to check in with the local Narrogin CWA Bells and find some great little recipes to get your taste buds going. We've got Michelle Parker with us. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, David. How are you going today?
Very well. Now, you've got a nice little choc chip cookie recipe here, and apparently it's an easy one to do and little less fuss in the kitchen.
Yes, I like stuff that's readily available to grab easily out of the pantry. We don't need any dodo feathers or Madagascan vanilla extracts. And something that just goes in one bowl, basically, and straight into the oven is really great for me.
Absolutely. So what ingredients do we need for this?
Okay, so I'll just rattle these off. We need 2.5 cups of plain flour, 1 cup of brown sugar, 1/2 cup of white sugar just to put that nice little sweetness into it, a teaspoon of baking powder to get our cookies rising, 2 eggs, 200 grams of melted butter. You can easily do this in a little glass jug in the microwave, 1 splash of vanilla essence, and 1 packet or 250 grams of choc chips.
Oh, yum. I do love a good choc chip recipe. So then how do we then go from there? What's the method to put it all together?
The secret is throw it in a bowl and just mix it up, all the ingredients together. And what we'd like you to do is get a piece of cling wrap, and then we roll that mixture or dough into a log and wrap it up in the cling wrap. Once you've done that, you're going to put your log into the fridge to chill for 20 to 30 minutes. So once you've got that chilled out of the fridge, and put your log with the plastic wrap still on it, on your bench, grab a knife, and we want to cut through the cling wrap about a finger wide, bit more, watch your fingers when you're doing it, all the way along the plastic wrap with the dough inside it. And then once you've done that, unwrap it, pull off your plastic, obviously, and put those slices on your baking tray. And we want that oven at about 160 degrees. And you're going to bake these for about 15 to 20 minutes, subject to the idiosyncrasies of your particular oven. And then they're out on a rack, cool completely, and they're ready to have a munch on with your cup of tea or coffee.
Absolutely. Sounds delicious. Now, what is the secret to putting it in the fridge?
Well, what that does with your dough, I mean, you just mix it up. You've got warm ingredients in there, like the melted butter. Because it's at room temperature, we want it just to solidify so it's easy handling to get that nice round cookie look, other than, you know, overworking the dough and having things crumble. Keeps it all that texture neat and together just for the ease of getting that cookie on the tray without a mess.
Fantastic. Some great advice there for the youngsters out there that are possibly learning, or like myself that are quite advanced in the kitchen, and that's a new one for me. So thanks for joining us this morning, Michelle. We look forward to catching up with you again and finding out what you've got for us next week.
Thanks, David. Have a good one.
It's Triple M Breakfast.
Getting your day going and feeling good.
This is Dave for Breakfast.
Well, that's it for another Brekkie Catch-Up, but I'll be back for breakfast weekdays 6 till 9 on the Great Southern Triple M, or you can tune into the podcast end of the week. Either way, I look forward to your company.